From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barham, Neil McCready, after a one-day hiatus to see how close Mr. McCready is to joining the PGA Tour. We are back with you, so thanks for letting us donate a good bit to a great cause yesterday. A lot of great causes, actually, because of you, the people who have donated, pledged money to help St. Jude, Heart of David Ministry, the North Mississippi Medical Center, and HeartWorks, all getting sizable donations because of your generosity around this holiday season. Maybe that's the part that surprises me more than anything else. We always ask for different things, and two weeks before Christmas, the way that you guys responded, much, much appreciated. Hope everybody had fun following along yesterday. We'll discuss a little bit about that on the show. Also, Ole Miss won a basketball game last night at the Pavilion, beating Sam Houston State by double figures. Big lead early, then got a little tight, and then it just kind of won by what they won by. It was what it was. So that and more today on the show. Show that is brought to you every single time by the Oxford Exxon. Highway 6 West in Oxford, and as Christmas is coming, make sure you head on over to any Blue Sky. Let them smoke your ham or turkey for you, as little as $15 to get that expertly prepared and take something off your plate for this holiday season. Also, you get $4.99 lunch specials every single day at the Oxford Exxon. You get the ribs at night, or go next door to the Oxford Crystal and take advantage of all the specials they always have going on, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, partial to the Sun Risers in the morning. But whatever you like, they're on Highway 6 West, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. You call that number. Tell Corey Clark what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal all the time at Clark Ford. Once you get your quote, really it's up to you. You can shop it around if you like, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You can take my word for it, because I was talking to him about something just this week, and Corey's the most honest car dealer I've ever dealt with. So right to the bottom line, he's not going to try to screw you. It's so simple. And then to make it even better, tell Corey at the end of your deal, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off, additional $500 off. Your bottom line from Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
So yesterday, we got a lot of donations in already. I checked the page last night. Many of you guys fulfilling your pledges to St. Jude. And then, as we told you, can never, for many different reasons, thank the Craddock family for also pitching in for these other great causes. Seems like he's doing something every day for us and for people. Generally a good guy that just likes helping people. So really, thanks to Ben and all of you guys as we try to round all these donations up and make Christmas a little better for a lot of people in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it's really cool, the number of people that participated in something as juvenile as an idiot like me going on a golf course that I had no business on. So we certainly appreciate Oxford Country Club, Craddock, the people at St. Jude for helping us organize a landing page. The guy that doesn't get enough credit is Chase. Chase did all the work. All I did was show up and play horrible golf. I didn't do any of the other stuff. I referred people to Chase. It was like, I don't know. I'm just the guinea pig. So Chase did a lot of work on this, and so you're to be commended for that. And it's cool that so many kids hopefully will get a little bit of help out of us being willing to make fun of me.
You know, we should have said the pursuit to break 150 is Neil McCready. He had about a 4.5-5 foot putt for a 149 yesterday on the 18th green.
And I went for it on that putt too.
You went for it a little too much because you missed the next one as well. But we settled in at 151. You couldn't leave the 149 short, just in case. Like, you don't ever want to leave that one short.
I wasn't going to leave it short because then I would have been mad at myself for that. So I went for it, and I hit it a little long and to the left.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
The great thing about my golf experience was, even though a couple of times I got pissed off at a shot, when your expectations are absolute zero, it's all good.
Yeah, you only got really annoyed a couple times. You had a couple moments.
Well, the little chip thing, where you're trying to chip and you hit it 2 inches, that is frustrating as hell. Golf, here's what I learned.
Okay.
Golf is really hard. The closer you are to the pin, the harder it is. Hitting the ball in the middle of the, when you're like off the tee is hard for me.
Yeah.
The mid-range game for
me. Just play it from the fairway.
The mid-range game for me is kind of fun because I'm okay at it.
Yeah.
I'm not horrible.
No.
I'll give myself this. Those of you who listen to me know that I rarely give myself anything. If you give me a 6-iron, I'm okay. I'm not good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not awful.
No. More times than not, you're going to kind of hit it in sort of the right direction.
There are people who actually go play golf for fun who are worse with the 6-iron than I am.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Now, I can't find the fairway. I putt okay. I'm an okay putter. My chipping game is just god-awful.
Yeah, to the point where, again, while we're thanking people, Jonathan Randolph gave us hours yesterday and was as good of a sport as possible to walk Neil around this golf course. So thanks to him, because he carved strokes off of Neil's game yesterday, both with his tee shots and his expertise in helping Neil's game. And was just an overall great sport in helping our other guys, J.P. Vinson and Taylor Carr, have a good time as well. So, Jonathan, It was a little different day with you around. I appreciate that. So.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun because you get to watch a professional, and he just drives the ball 300 yards right down the middle, and you're like, whoa, or he hits it into the wind, and he's like, so it's going to get up in this level and do this, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then sure enough, no, he's great. It was a lot of fun hanging out with him, and he basically gave me advice that I don't think you would have ever given me, and that was just, let's just putt it from here.
Yeah, I was.
Because I think he figured out he's better with a putter than I thought he would be.
And he's much worse with a wedge than anyone thought he would be. So
let's meet in the middle.
Yeah, if you were even anything inside about 25 yards from the green, you were putting.
Yeah.
And it did. It shaved strokes.
Yeah, because I'm okay with a putter, all the jokes aside.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at putt-putt, and I know that's totally different, but I'm more comfortable with the putter. And that wedge, man, my God.
Had we made you chip everything off the green, you would have scored 15 shots higher.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd had a couple of decent chips, but for the most part, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So golf is hard. Chipping is hard. I can see how people get the bug, because if you hit a few good shots sort of in a row, you're like, well, this is kind of fun. Jonathan at one point was like, well, don't get confident. I'm like, don't worry. That's that. On the list of things in my life that are never going to happen, getting confident is at the very top. That's never going to be an issue for me. He's like, yeah, a lot of people, they'll have a couple of good holes and they start getting confident. I'm like, well, that won't ever be a problem for me, because I approach every shot with, I wonder how badly this can go. So when I slice one and hit a house like I did yesterday, I'm thinking.
We didn't hear contact.
No.
But the wind was blowing. There might have been contact because I couldn't find the ball. So you either hit the house or hit it over the house, one or the other.
If you made me guess, because I hit that one hard.
You might have hit it over the house.
I might have hit it over the house and down that road between the houses.
Yeah.
Because I crushed it.
Yeah. Straight right.
Oh, yeah, straight right. It went about 100 yards straight and then about 150 yards to the right. I mean, I bombed it. Got every bit of it.
Yeah.
But I can see how it would be fun. I can see how people get into it. Now, you'd have to be better than I am for it to be really fun. Because if you guys hadn't been out there, I would have lost another 10 balls.
You lost 11 balls, shot 151, and had 40-something putts, if I'm correct.
I had one whiff where I completely missed the ball.
Only one.
which was, I would have bet higher than that.
Yeah, it was on a tee shot on the 14th he whiffed.
Because I think I was trying to kill it without realizing I was trying to kill it. The only times that I did well was when I thought to myself, hey, just chill out and hit it.
Just swing.
Just swing. Relax. And it wasn't like I was uptight. I was just sometimes, like the wind was in my face and I was thinking, I really got to hit this hard. And then a couple times I'd be like, I just hit it. Just try to keep the club face sort of square. Don't do too much and follow through.
I'm also assuming that we probably, by having Jonathan hit two tee shots, probably saved you 8 to 10 strokes is a guess.
That's probably fair.
Something like that. Yeah. It was both on par threes. The first one, Jonathan hit a ball to about 15 feet. The pin was in a horrific place. I'll give Neil this. The pin was in a really straight
spot.
Yeah,
because the other guy that was a really good
JP.
JP, the really good golfer. I mean, he had scored like in the low 80s probably. He had a great shot off the tee on that too, and he three-putted it. That was ridiculous.
It was kind of hanging on the edge of a hill on the front of the green. And
yeah, it was totally unfair.
So Neil five-putted that, but the point being,
I think
being,
if you put me on a plain old municipal course that doesn't have a ton of challenges and big fairways, I might be okay.
The university course would have been 20 shots easier yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put me on something like that, I could.
You had room to hit it left and right. The greens are fast, but they're fair.
I could legitimately become a guy who shot a 145 every time out. That's not good enough to play golf. You're too slow. You would hold people up. I mean, it's not something that's going to be in my future. I'm going to make sure Carson plays because my life is – I'm too old for it. But he's young. He needs to play. He needs to pick it up. It would be a good experience for him.
So he five-putted on number 9, and then on number 11 – it's a 235-yard par 3, and we had wind in our face. I'm not being hyperbolic. 25 miles an hour back into our face.
Sometimes it gusted stronger than that. I'm convinced of it.
And there's really nowhere to miss.
I'm windburned today.
There's rough all the way basically to the green unless you get way up there to kind of the front edge landing area. There's all kind of crap left. There's a drop-off and a bunker right. I mean, it would have taken one of Neil's better drives of the day to get in a spot to then hit up to the green, I guess is my point. And that was the most impressive shot of anybody we saw all day. Jonathan hit a 3-wood to about 10, 12 feet on that hole through the wind.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like he gets paid to play golf.
So you 3-putted, made a 4, and that would have been a 10. That hole was incredibly difficult. That would have been at least a 10. So you got some shots shaved off there, but anyway, it was
had
fun.
A couple
was,
of putts rim out where I would have shaved a couple of,
including one hellacious up and down. He was, for anybody that plays golf, he was up on a mound and down into a green that was running away from him, downhill, down green with a huge tier change. And he stopped the ball right at the top of the tier. It just eked over the edge of the tier, rolled down about 8 feet from the cup, which is absolutely as good as you could have done. And then the putt missed by less than an inch. It was almost a career up and down for you there.
Yeah, it almost went in. It teetered to go in. It was the basketball equivalent of the ball going in the basket and then popping out.
So, but fulfill your donations. Fulfill your pledges. Make the donations. The page is still up. Again, it's linked. If you go to my Twitter page, it's pinned at the top. It's on Facebook. It's also on the message board pinned at the top as well. So go to that link. You can make a gift. Add to that page, and we would really, really appreciate it as we do all we can for St. Jude and the other foundations and areas with this day. But overall, good fun. We'll do something at some time in the future. We'll find some other way for somebody to embarrass themselves other than our bowl pick'em where we go to some crazy-ass basketball game at some point. So,
yeah, we'll come up with some new ways. That was
a good one. This was an easy, good thing. So,
that was a lot of fun. Would have been nicer if it had been 15 degrees warmer.
Yeah, it did warm up okay. It wasn't awful.
It wasn't terrible. Right.
When I got up yesterday morning and it said 23, I went, oh, man. Yeah. Oh, this is not going to be good. But it was okay.
But it was fun. The sun was out.
Yeah. Also, thanks to my buddy O'Keefe Graham. He played. He was the marker, keeping the score, and finding a lot of golf balls over the course of the day over the
He was a big help.
A threesome took 5 hours and 40 minutes yesterday. That is a long time. That is longer than it might should have taken, but that's okay. We did have to let some groups play through, though, so we had to stop for a few minutes.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where I told Jonathan, there's nothing I can do. I mean, I can't get better overnight.
So
he was great because he knew if I start giving a lesson out here,
that's too much.
We're going to regress.
Yeah.
And so he did help me with like a little setup and stuff on some short game because I hit a few wedges late and like 9 irons late
that were kind of okay.
That were okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm a really good student because I know I don't know Jack. And so if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah. Jonathan did kind of like look around for a second and go, so do I tell him this? Do I know? He's like weighing it in his head. Is this going to be worse or better or whatever? And there were two or three things we said, just do this. Don't think about anything and just do this. And it was okay.
And I was okay.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a good student. I was never going to be like, nah, I think what I'm going to do is he'd hand me a club. And there was actually literally one time he handed me a club and I thought to myself as I addressed the ball, I don't even know what club I have right now.
Yeah, no, you never really knew a club. He just handed you something out of the bag, including, for whatever reason, your set did not include an 8-iron. And
yeah,
there was no 8-iron.
I'm concerned that I may have lost an 8-iron somewhere. Yeah, so if that's the case, I will pay someone to purchase a new 8-iron.
So he needed an 8-iron on the fourth hole, and Jonathan just handed him the 8-iron out of his bag, and Neil did not even know the difference in getting the 8-iron out from Jonathan's bag compared to
that was actually
bag.
One of my better shots, though. Remember that?
It's all about the arrow and not the Indian, Neil. It's actually, no, not even a little bit.
But that was one of my better shots of the day.
He crushed an 8-iron down the fairway on number 4.
Hit it right down the middle.
Yeah, right where you're supposed to hit it.
Yeah, because he was like, that's really good. And I was like, I have no idea what I just did. There's no way for me to know how I'm going to do it again. There was one ball that I hit really well. It was like, I think it was on 17. And off the club, I thought, ooh, that was really good. And then I heard this loud bang, and I realized it had crashed into a tree. And I was like, well, that's – and because that was one where O'Keefe said, that's the first time you've hit it straight the whole day. The one time I was trying not to hit it straight, I did.
You hit it dead straight.
Crushed it.
Yeah. You actually would be a couple lessons in your 20 shots better because you've got some setup issues that we just decided not to even try to deal with yesterday.
Yeah.
From a full swing standpoint.
Yeah.
So
– yeah.
Part of it is I don't think you knew where you were aiming. Like, I think you thought you were aiming farther right than you really were.
Probably.
So you were aiming kind of left all day.
Yeah, probably so.
But again, screwing with you in the middle of the round was not the
answer. No, probably
not.
Answer.
It was for the kids. So.
Yeah, I'm going to get Carson lessons. He's going to play. I've already told
that
him.
That was the one thing you got out of yesterday more than anything else.
Yeah, because it's a male camaraderie thing. Guys hang out together and you make friends, you make business relationships and stuff. He needs to do that. I'm too old for it. It's passed me by. But he needs to do it. It's something he most certainly needs to do. He's going to do.
We'll take a break from the podcast and tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. Located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market, also a leader in condo financing. So ask Jason Lowe about the float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. J-Lowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all of the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and the mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26-plus years. I've used them for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Check out some of the new 2018s. They're really cool, and they have great lease deals as well. You want to drive a 2017 or 2018, but you want to pay prices from the 1990s, you can do that. Especially if you drive less than 15,000 miles a year, something for you to look into. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for or are interested in. And the results that you get are updated daily. And then you can send Harry an email and he'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
So did you know this occurred? I saw this on Twitter. 87 years ago today, Newt Rockne's final game was Notre Dame against the New York Giants.
I did not.
College against NFL.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm reading here, just kind of interesting because I had no clue. Said, on December 14, 1930, Newt Rockne led a team of Notre Dame All-Stars against the Giants at the Polo Grounds in an event to raise money for the Committee on the Unemployed. Over 55,000 fans gathered to watch the postseason exhibition. New York won 22-0, and more than $110,000 was raised for the city during the Great Depression, the Rockne's final game as he was killed in a plane crash the following spring.
I did not know that.
No clue. So, anyway, there's that. This, frankly, is a little more obligatory than anything else because every situation that was going on with Ole Miss basketball yesterday is still going on with it today following the win against Sam Houston State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only development yesterday really of significance was Raheem Lockhart returned to the bench. He's had some health issues for the past, 5 weeks or so. So it's great news. On a number of fronts. Most importantly, personally for Raheem, that his health is improved to the point that he could get back to the bench. I think it's good for this team from a basketball standpoint, which is, of course, of less importance, that he's back on the bench because I think he balances a little bit of Andy Kennedy. I've seen some people talking last night about Andy being vocal towards his kids. People saying it's a sign that he's losing his team. Look, his team's got issues. He's trying something different. Sometimes you have to be good cop, bad cop. I think Raheem's return a little bit allows Raheem to play good cop some, and Andy can play bad cop. Andy needs these kids to play with more urgency. This team, and they did it again last night, they built a 16-point lead in the first half. You are playing an inferior team, and instead of getting the throat and getting up 30, 32, 34, where then you can take the pedal off and go, whatever, we won by 20, it doesn't matter. Instead, they let Sam Houston climb back within six. Well, that's a sign that kids are losing concentration. Losing focus, sort of getting lax. And that's been an issue with this team. And so he's trying by sometimes a coach will say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to piss them all off. They're all going to hate me, which is going to make them galvanize together to prove me wrong. And I'll benefit from it. I'm not getting paid 1 point whatever Andy's getting paid to be their best pal. It's kind of like parenting. Your job as a parent is not to be your kid's best friend. Sometimes your job as a parent requires that you piss your kid off, that you motivate your kid. I think that's where that's going right now. He's got to try something different because for whatever reason, and a lot of it is because he's got a team full of really nice kids. He's got a team full of kind of laid back kids. He's got to light a fire. They tried to light a fire a little bit yesterday. They did some good things. It was a night where Terrence Davis, I think, scored 5 points. Brian Tyree scored 3. I might have that off a little bit. I don't have a box in front of me. You tell Andy Kennedy before the game, hey, TD and Brian Tyree are going to combine for 8. His response to that is, oh, my God.
We lose by 12.
We're in trouble. And so last night it was a positive. There were some positives last night. Now, again, this is against inferior competition, but Dominik Oleniczyk did a couple of things. He got 6 points. He had 3 boards. He had an assist. He did some things. Was that enough? God, no. Hell no. Is it potentially a building block? Andy gave a really great quote the other day, Chase. You and I talked about this yesterday. Confidence comes from demonstrated ability and nothing else. You don't go out on a golf course, for example, and become confident because you're wishing you're going to play well. You don't become a confident putter by studying the art of putting. Becoming a confident putter by making putts.
Yeah.
You become a confident player around the greens by becoming proficient
execution
at chipping.
Yeah.
Executing a chip. Putting
over and over and over and over again.
Demonstrated ability.
Yeah.
So this is a step, possibly, a baby step in that direction. Because Dominik Oleniczyk is a better player than what you've seen from him. But he is what happens. And I can speak to this as a far inferior athlete. My biggest issue ever in any sport that I ever played was when I walked up to the plate, I had an internal, I don't know about you when you pitched, I had an internal battle. All right, I'm going to strike out. Y'all, you're striking out against this guy. And I step out and go, stop. And I mean, that was the deal. He's doing that right now. He's thinking, he's not confident, and therefore people are blowing past him and he's getting in foul trouble, he's getting late, that's screwing up rotations, people are getting open looks. And all you can do is play him. So he did some good things. They got some real quality minutes out of Bruce Stevens last night. Maybe not coincidentally by having Raheem back on the bench. That really helped Bruce. Eustace Furmanovicius. Him. Came off the bench in the second half and gave them a real spark. A couple of threes, an offensive rebound, put back for a bucket. That's a positive. That's a building block. Markcanvas Hyman had another really solid game. There were some signs. Now for them, what they have to do is they have to build on it. They have to do it again on Saturday against Illinois State. They've got to do it again next week against Texas A&M Corpus Christi and against Bradley, as they have all acknowledged. All of these games are must-win games, and they're also must-improve games because this team's got to get better for league play. No question. If the team as currently playing heads into league play, they're going to get their ass kicked. But they have time to get better. Teams do improve. And the odds are, most nights, Brian Tyree and Terrence Davis are going to get more than 8 points combined.
Yeah, they have. That was the first of, frankly, 1, 2, 3, 4 must-win games in a row, including the SEC opener against Carolina on New Year's Eve.
Well, that's a must-win game, too, so it's the first of at least 5 must-win games.
And then they go to Georgia.
You can't call that a must win. That's but that's
because come home, play State, then go to Auburn, and then play Florida.
Yeah, it's a very the league is very difficult.
Is Illinois State good?
They're okay.
They're what they usually are. They're okay.
They're not quite as good as they've been in the past. It's a game that Ole Miss simply has to win. Period. They've got to win these next four games to have a shot of getting the ship back on track.
A&M Corpus Christi, their mascot is?
The Seawolves.
It's kind of close, but no.
Okay.
Kind of close. I don't know.
The Otters.
Where'd you get the Otters?
Hell, I don't know. Huh? I don't know. I'm thinking ocean stuff. The Dolphins, the Porpoises.
There's an NHL team with the same name.
The Hurricanes.
They're located in the country's largest media market.
The Islanders.
That is correct. They are the Corpus Christi Islanders. I'm just thanking God you didn't say Rangers right there. So,
well, Rangers.
Seawolves, Islanders, Otters. What's the difference?
Yeah, whatever.
No, the Dolphins. That would be Jacksonville.
Okay.
I don't know any Otters.
Wonder if there's a college team named Otters. Probably something like in Maine, A&M or something. They're like the Otters.
Think so?
I don't know.
Because the Maine is the Bears, right?
They're the Black Bears.
Yeah.
Ole Miss should send them a costume.
Asshole.
Daddy, where's Rebel? Oh man, they aborted that quickly.
Salisbury University is the Seagulls.
Huh?
I'm not seeing any Seawolves. I've got a list of college mascots in the United States.
Where is Salisbury?
I don't know. I'm getting no Otters at all.
Campbell gets stuff from the most obscure colleges. I need to start saving it. She gets stuff from just all over the place, like schools I've never even heard of.
It was something to do with either a PSAT I did or something. I always got inundated with things from Wash U in St. Louis.
Yeah, she hadn't got anything from there yet that I've seen.
Yeah, that was one that, and there was some reason for it. I'm just not 100% sure what it was.
I give credit. I'll tell you who's aggressive with their recruiting efforts is Mississippi State.
In state, they are.
They are. I mean, it is constant. It is persistent. You know who had a really strong little package they sent? It was Valparaiso.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I stopped and looked at it. Did you know that's a Lutheran school?
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
This is the things you learned today on the Oxford Exxon podcast, that Valpo is a Lutheran university. It's what you're getting on December, whatever the date is, too. There's 14th. Not a lot going on.
There's a lot of recruiting going on, and Russell Johnson is kicking tail on recruiting. It's at rebelgrove.com, and it's always long been our policy. We're not going to give away recruiting content on the podcast.
Yeah. Give away a little bit on his podcast, but that is.
Give away a little on his podcast, but we're not giving it away on this podcast. We encourage you, if you want day-to-day, updated, hour-to-hour recruiting, go to rebelgrove.com. It would make a great Christmas gift. It's not expensive. It's less expensive. If you buy an annual subscription, it's less expensive a month than lunch damn near anywhere.
You could have gotten almost 6 months of rebelgrove.com for what you lost in golf balls yesterday.
Yeah.
You ever take?
You'd have a hard time getting a foot-long sandwich lunch at Subway for $8.64.
Is it $8.64?
That's what it is a month.
Okay.
Good luck. I mean, you can do it, but you're going bottom of the barrel.
You're not getting the two cookies with it.
You're not getting the cookies, and you're probably not getting one of those. You're not getting a signature sandwich.
And you're not upsizing.
No. You're just.
Whatever the normal size cup is.
You're getting a turkey sandwich, a chip, and a normal size cup.
Yeah.
And you're coming real close to 864 there.
Salisbury University is in, it's 30 miles west of Ocean City, Maryland. The more you know.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
They should be called the Stakes.
Salisbury Steaks.
Yeah, Salisbury Steaks.
Was it? It's like, I think it was David Brandt's wife. She's from that school in Missouri that's got Cupid as a mascot. They're like Cupies.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're like the Cupies or something, and they had Cupid as a mascot.
Really?
I'd have a hard time on the football field with Cupid on my helmet, wouldn't you?
That would take away a certain degree of like masculinity and toughness from you. You would have to almost be a finesse offense, wouldn't you? Like a fool 'em kind of a deal. There was no smash mouth with Cupid. You would just be kind of a lot of misdirection, a lot of zone blocking.
Yeah, Cupie was the mascot. K-E-W-P-I-E, I believe.
K-E-W-P-I-E. Huh.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's awful.
Oh, yeah, here it is. You want to see it?
Yeah.
This was this school's mascot, Hickman High School.
Oh, my God.
It's a baby-looking
The
Cupid
only thing,
thing
is that might make your opponent so timid. Nobody wants to hit the baby.
It is a really weird thing here. Yeah, again, you can search to find this. David H. Hickman High School in Columbia, Missouri. I need to ask Gabe about this. The Cupies.
Next time we have Gabe on, we're going to ask about.
And he's going to go, what in the hell say, are y'all
why are,
doing?
Why are we doing this?
Because this is what we do.
Because this is what we do.
We had Santa Claus on the front page the other day. Like I know people around the rival site look at him and go, what the hell are they
There's
doing?
There's no question people look at our site and go, they're different.
I mean, I spent 10 minutes not looking for a Santa Claus photo. I needed a photo with a lot of Santa Clauses.
Yeah, because you found Santa Claus class and you're like, yes.
Yeah, it was the best part of my day that day. So
yeah, we're a little different.
Yeah.
We are not your mother's rivals.com site.
No. It is not. It is not Rebel Sports Net of 2004 right now in the building. So
this is true.
This is true.
Which is sometimes a good thing. Probably sometimes a bad thing.
It's changed since you took over in the spring of 08.
Yeah, it's been 10 years almost, and it's changed a good bit.
Houston Nutt's first spring practice, right?
My first day on the job was the Monday of his first practice week, and they practiced, I think, for the first time on Wednesday.
Okay.
I covered the SEC basketball tournament in Atlanta, the one with the tornado.
That was your first thing?
My last SEC assignment. It was the year that Georgia won the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Dave Bliss hit the little thing to beat Ole Miss that night.
Georgia won the SEC tournament championship game at Georgia Tech's arena.
That's right.
I finished my game story, got in the car, and it was late. I drove to Birmingham, spent the night, got up the next morning, and drove here and started my job.
Yeah. Live with your parents when you first moved here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. Come get your sildenafil for the holiday season. Probably makes a great gift that'd be allowed through the whole prescription thing. $10 instead of 50 or 60 for that little blue pill. Same length of effectiveness and gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. So check them out, TysonDrugs.com. You fill out the form online or give them a call at 662-252-2321. They'll deliver it to you if you're not local and make it a very special holiday season for you in the midst of 662-252-2321.
It might not make it special for her. It's possible. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Today is the next to last day for Oxford Park Commission soccer registration for the spring season. It's going to begin in February. It's going to go till April. Games are played out at beautiful FNC Park. It's for boys and girls ages 5 to 16. If you played in the fall, you can rejoin your team in the spring for $30. If you didn't play in the fall, fear not. You can play in the spring. Registration is $55. Oxford Park Commission, podcastallsobroughttoyou.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about this, spring of 08, Nutt was starting his tenure, and I mean, all jokes aside, we talked about this, from a Matt Luke, Hugh Freeze, Houston Nutt, Ed Orgeron standpoint, Nutt probably had the highest approval rating upon being hired. Somewhat sitting SEC head coach, comes into the Ford Center, does the whole aw shucks thing, gets everybody under his wing. So there's excitement with that. I saw some coming off Ed Orgeron and 0-8 in the SEC, so anything looked good by comparison. You had a baseball team that was coming off three straight host regionals, and then basketball was just kind of in the early stages of the Andy Kennedy era.
Actually, when I got here, they were still in the NIT.
When they played Clemson in the Final Four and lost, if I have that right.
I think that's Ohio State.
It's Clemson or Ohio State, one or the other.
Ohio State.
Okay.
Yeah, because I covered that first week, I covered at least one NIT game.
Did you?
Yeah. Kind of as a columnist, Dan Wyke. Yeah,
Wyke.
Who went on to be an NBA writer.
He is now covering the Chargers for the Orange County Register, I believe.
That's right. He's covering the NFL now.
Yeah, when he left here, he went and covered USC for the rival site with Ryan Abraham.
Yeah.
And then he got on as a secondary Angels writer for the Orange County Register. And since then, he went from Angels to Clippers to now Chargers.
Covered the Clips for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
Was really good at it.
Yeah. Got married semi-recently, too.
Here's the lesson to young journalists.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth, because I get this all the time, and I know if I get it, you probably get it 10 times more. Just go right. Take a job. If your goal out of – I wish someone had told me this, because I would have had a different probably outcome. Don't worry about money at first. Just go get a job. You'll pay me peanuts? Good. There's no other path. And then if you're good at it, you will move up. And before you know it, especially if you'll move to a city – you'll be covering professional sports in your late 20s. But you got to go and get in a market where people can, A, help you, and B, give you stuff to write. And so if you go to like an LA, I don't know how the hell you afford to live, but if you go to an LA, those papers will hire somebody to go cover
whatever
the crap.
The other thing, too, especially even more so in today's world versus any other one, if you have a chance to go into a room where anyone in it might can help you at some point, go.
Yes.
Speak, be outgoing as much as you're humanly capable of.
Yep.
And then if anyone, especially early on in your career, anyone does anything for you, sit down and send a thank you note.
Yes.
Send a thank you note, please.
Yes.
So true. Job one. Especially in today where nobody really does that anymore. Instead of just being normal, you look like you're above and beyond.
Yeah. Instead of just looking like you're courteous, people go, you're the nicest person ever.
Yeah. It's Corolla's thing on every, as I've said this on the podcast, as everyone else gets less whatever and less formal and less and less and less and less, you just kind of being normal elevates you. It's kind of a good thing that everybody else does what they're doing.
Yes.
So, that's not a bad thing.
No.
Less competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to set yourself apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I was thinking, because at the time, I mean, you were the only person here trying to. I mean, there's three of us now, and I don't know if it's gotten more competitive or less competitive. You can make of it what you will over the last 10 years, but I can't imagine having every sport and the expectation of you will be an expert at three sports that are going on basically all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I remember thinking to myself a couple of months in, this is not doable. All I'm going to do is work. That's all I do. I was covering basketball, spring football, baseball seemed like they had 170 games. And if you didn't go to
At that point, I was basically hired over there to do nothing but write baseball.
And if you
24 hours a day.
Yeah, and if you didn't cover one, it was like, well, the spirit has it. It's like, yeah, but I was doing and then I was doing recruiting. Yeah. So I'm writing like six recruiting stories.
Say you would be sitting at the baseball game calling recruits and then also writing spring football from 2 hours before that.
I remember thinking this is dumb.
Yeah.
This is dumb. Because it's like the little known thing, and people listening to this can be like, oh God, why didn't that work out? I was probably had been here a month, maybe a month and a half. I won't name the market. You know where I'm about to, what I'm talking about. I got a call about coming to work for a newspaper and I would have a radio show. And we were in such limbo as a family because the house in Spanish Fort was on the market and I'd started this job and I'd signed a contract. And my initial response to it was, yes, that's what I want to do. And then I thought, what a pain in the ass it would be right now to do that. And so I just said, I can't do it right now. But I have no idea what those people would have done. I guess they'd let me out of the contract. I probably could have gotten out of it. Because it wasn't going to a competing deal. It was going back into, quote, mainstream media. It was the job that had it been offered.
Where is that job now? Is it still in existence?
Yeah, it's still.
Okay.
It was a job. Yeah, it's one of those newspapers that has thrived.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It was a job where had that been offered 3 months earlier, had someone called me in February of 2008 and offered me that job, I would have taken it.
Yeah. How long did you think you'd be here when you took it?
2-3 years.
Did you really? You thought it was that minimal?
Yeah, I thought a couple, 3 years.
It was just a bridge?
That's what I thought. That's what I figured. Because I was stressed out about it, you know. I mean, it was like the whole fan site thing. If you go to a fan site.
Can you get back to a newspaper?
Can
all
you
that
get
kind of
back? Because immediately, you
that's
know.
That's what's amazing about how a decade's changed. Is now you look at the newspaper and go, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's like, you know, I remember Ted Miller with the formerly of ESPN. I don't know what Ted's doing now. He's doing something really good. He's very talented, I'm sure. Ted went out to Seattle. When I took the job in Mobile, and when he left the Seattle PI to go to ESPN, he called me and he was like, hey, would you be interested in this? And we made the joke about me following his coattails and stuff, but it was a Pac-12 job. At the time, it was the Pac-10, and covered the Huskies a good bit, but you'd be in Seattle, paid well. And I thought, yeah. And then just, you know, family didn't want to move, stuff like that. On paper at the time, that looked like a great job. And like literally 4 years later, that paper just out of the blue folded. One of those papers. Remember that run on papers that just folded?
Yeah.
It was one of them. And I thought, man, how life would have been crazy out there. Move to Seattle, you don't know anybody, and then bang, your job's gone. What do you do? I guess you pack up and go back someplace else. I don't know. It would have. It's funny how stuff works out.
I'm actually not sure what Ted's doing now. His Twitter account is Ted Miller RK, and it says write about college football and other stuff. But I'm not seeing any employer. He might have gotten out of the at least the main sports business as his occupation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't find much of anything here.
I mean, there was a lot of time when working for ESPN was awesome. And if you're still working for ESPN, it's pretty good. But, man, they have laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah, if you survived, it's a great gig. If.
Yeah.
Just kind of depends, because, man.
And surviving is more about luck than it is skill.
Oh, knowing the right boss, knowing the right middle manager that does this. Yeah, I mean,
just being in the right place.
Yeah. Having a little more tenure than another dude, I mean.
Well, I can. This isn't to compare people, because they're all friends and they're all very talented. But Chris Lowe is in a better place than Ted Miller, because the college football cliques in the Southeast are better than the college football cliques on the West Coast, where it's more professional sports interest than there is down
here. Yeah, when he goes in for his review or whatever, he can show a lot of clicks.
The numbers are there. Well, it's not because Chris is better or worse than Ted. It's I cover the SEC, and Ted covers the Pac-12. And if you cover the Pac-12 during football season, well, they're into it. But those people then switch because there are NBA teams up and down the West Coast. There are Major League Baseball teams up and down the West Coast. Yeah, there's other stuff. There's a beach. There's just stuff. It's just different.
Well, it's like I always heard jokes from, you know, AL.com is just this clickbait. Every writer has to have so many clicks, and you really get – I mean, basically, there at one time, I know there was like even just a running tab daily on how many hits each author was getting and different things, to the point of, say, the Auburn beat writer for AL.com, story comes in on Auburn, and he'd literally have like 5 minutes to go ahead and start writing it, and if not, he'd get it stolen. It was like, well, it goes out, and anybody else is dying for that story because they know Auburn football is about to get a ton of clicks compared to going and covering the local high school or the soccer council meeting over here. And it's just – it's a feeding frenzy for clicks and for anything to make you move up the ladder or change your status.
So those guys work around the clock.
Yeah. There's no stability of, okay, you're the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a joke because one dude was like in the shower, and he's like, I knew that I'm going to get yelled at because I was in the shower this 5-minute period.
Because I had the audacity to bathe myself.
Yeah, at whatever time in the afternoon, and that's not okay.
Well, that's why that particular outlet has run through Alabama beat writers. Just.
It's a grind every single day.
It's kind of like that video of Marshawn Lynch practicing against the high school team.
Yeah.
Similar to that, you're just going through people. Just grinding.
For whatever reason, I kind of like that video, honestly. Him practicing against the high school team.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. Did we talk about this the other day? Speaking of videos, maybe we did. If so, just say yeah and we'll move on. The promo that CBS did for the Army-Navy game.
No.
Did you watch this?
I did not.
It was really cool. It was about a 4.5-minute spot. I saw it on Twitter, but probably was played on TV, too. I'm not sure. Where it kind of was time-lapse, went back through the history of the players and the kids getting their letters of acceptance to Navy and Army, you know, through the 1900s, the 1800s, and the families dealing with that decision to let them go and whatever. And it's talk about the honor to play in the game, you're basically being accepted to live that kind of life and stuff. And it was really chill worthy. Like, it was a great spot on talking about the game. It said, you know, the line was, you know, one of the only game where the people on the field are willing to die for everyone watching. I think.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa. Like, it was incredibly well done.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, obviously.
It had a lot of parents of the current teams, like, crying, saying, you're scared every day, but you're also proud of your kid to the ability, because it takes a certain kind of person. So when they have that, that's what they want to do. You can't talk them out of it. You've got to support them in it, but it's a very trying emotional deal.
Can't imagine. And yeah, getting into one of those two academies is brutally difficult.
Yeah.
And then the sacrifice that you have to make once you're in it is just it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that was that game. I got into that game, and I kind of cheered for Army, but I felt bad. You know, you always, people go, well, I hate that anybody has to lose. I do hate that someone has to lose that game.
The Army-Navy.
I did feel sick for the Navy kids when it ended. I did. I'm sorry. I mean, I did. I was like, God, I hate that for them. I mean, I genuinely felt that come over me.
I've got one more thought on that in a second. First, tell you the podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Let them build your outdoor area. It's whether it is a stone patio, a fence, a deck, or any other outdoor area, including outdoor kitchens, they can help you out and give you a free quote by calling 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com. And when you mention the podcast and sign that annual contract, whenever it warms up and the time comes, the first cut will be free.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Well, recently State Farm had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give them a call, go to Google. Enter Romero Miller State Farm in the little search thingy. Hit enter or click it. And then Romero Miller State Farm reviews pop up. And you'll see that if you're in Tennessee or Mississippi, that is the place to go for your insurance needs. 662-893-1212.
So I'm really not being funny. I'm asking for a real answer here.
Okay.
Obviously, this is the one that's gone on the longest and has the prestige and whatever. How does Air Force kind of get left out of the, I mean, the deal there?
I don't know, because they play each other during the season and stuff, but it's not the big deal.
Yeah, you always hear Army Navy. You never hear Army Air Force, Navy Air Force.
No, that's not a big thing.
Why?
I don't know. It's a hell of a good question.
I mean, it seems like same deal here.
Does the U.S. Marine Academy have a football team?
Not a D1 program or anything. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have something at their level. Because aren't they the Bulldog, the Marine Academy, the Bulldogs?
I don't know.
I think so.
It might just be because Army-Navy is just rolls off the tongue better. Literally, it could be something as simple as Army-Navy.
And they play the last game of the year.
And they've played the last game of the year all this time. And I don't know. It's a good question.
Just kind of.
Because I got mad props for the Air Force, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, whatever. I mean, they're in a conference. They're not a conference opponent, too, which they're not either, but they're in the conference with, like, Boise and Colorado State and all them out there. Like, it's not as media market-centric as well. I have no idea if that plays a role in anything, but that is still true. Navy beat Air Force 48-45 this season, and Army beat Air Force 21-0. Army and Air Force do play for, or I guess they all play for the Commander in Chief's trophy, and who has the better record gets it. Is that the way that works?
I think so.
I really don't know. But Air Force went 5-7, 4-4, not reaching bowl eligibility. They did beat Utah State in their final game. So I don't know. I was watching the day, and that was bugging me a little bit. I was like, why is one branch kind of getting left out a little bit?
I don't know the answer.
I see some people online saying we should go bowling for our next charity.
You good at bowling?
I'm god awful.
Really?
Awful.
Like, what do you shoot?
Oh, if I break 100, I'm happy. I'm bad. I mean, look, I've never really tried much, but yeah, it's not good.
I've never taken like a lesson or anything. I can bowl a real steady 140.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not terrible.
No, I'm not terrible.
You probably bowl more than me.
Probably because Carson likes to go bowl. We'll go bowl sometimes just out of boredom. And I like it. It's fun.
Okay.
I can bowl. I can get to about a one. I think the highest I've ever gotten was about a 170.
The Merchant Marine Academy is in Kings Point, New York. They're a D3 school that's the Mariners. Just noticed them a second ago. For whatever that's worth. Merchant Marine, Coast Guard, Air Force, Navy, and Military Academy are the Coast Guard is the Bears. So no one's the Bulldogs. Coast Guard's the Bears. Also a D3 school.
A little Ole Miss news for you.
Okay.
Former Ole Miss catcher Will Allen in the Tigers organization was selected today by the Marlins in the Rule 5 draft.
The AAA version of the Rule 5 draft, but yes.
Was it the AAA version?
Yes, it was AAA version of the Rule 5 draft.
I stand corrected. I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay. That's what, or at least that's what Patrick Oakes told me in a text message a few minutes ago. I'll take his word for it.
Okay.
Because he is very good on the details of those things. I think he was actually listening to the draft happen in real time. So, But yes, he's
well. Good for Will. That's not a bad organization to go to right now, especially as a catcher, because it dovetails with the little news yesterday. The Marlins fire sale continues. They traded Giancarlo Stanton, of course, to the Yankees. They traded Osuna. I cannot think of Marcell Osuna to the Cardinals. A steal for St. Louis. A game changer for the Cardinals in their lineup. And there's all sorts of talk that their catcher, very good catcher, TJ Realmuto, could be on the block here soon. Might not be the worst organization to join right now. If you're a young player looking to get to the bigs and get time, you're not going to win anything in Miami for a while. But
the NCAA announcing this morning they are upholding the 2-year show cause penalty for Bo Davis, the former Alabama assistant. So just seeing that.
He's at UTSA now, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Coming across a press release this morning. They have upheld that decision. I see that the senior women's administrator at Xavier was on this committee on infractions. Xavier really big into the NCAA COI situations these days.
It's odd, isn't it?
Christopher and the senior women's administrator being on cases. That does seem a little strange, doesn't it? Somebody from Texas was on this one, Xavier, somebody with the American Athletic Conference, and then the private practice people, because this is the appeals hearing, I guess. So Ole Miss will file its appeal this week, next week, something like that. It's going to happen. I know there's been a lot of talk about the minutia of it. They had to say they were going to file last week. They said they were going to file, and now they will actually file. The COI gets to rebut, and then the new committee starts listening to both sides and to coming to a decision sometime in the next probably 5 months is my guess, frankly.
A lot of talk today about Manny Machado getting traded, possibly to the White Sox, possibly to the Cardinals. If the Cardinals add Machado and Ozuna, a lineup shaker for them. I'm not one to compliment the Cardinals much. I will compliment them for accommodating Stephen Piscotty, the outfielder.
Yep.
The way that they have. His mother has been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. She lives in the Bay Area, and the Cards and the Oakland A's finalizing a deal to send Stephen Piscotty to Oakland as early as today.
That's pretty cool.
As much as I don't like to compliment the Cardinals for anything at all, that's pretty cool.
Deontay Anderson is not going to Michigan. I don't know where he's going, but
he can't play there.
The Wolverines are not the option for him.
He can't play there. Again, in all of this mess, Ole Miss lost two players. They lost Shea Patterson, and they lost Van Jefferson.
To this point, that's it.
And I think that's going to probably be it. Because transferring is a pain in the ass. It's easier to just stay where you are.
Yeah.
And then you throw in that these are not little football robots.
They have lives. They have girlfriends. They have friends.
These are people.
They have social lives.
They have leases.
Yeah.
They have girlfriends. They have friends. It's familiarity.
Moving sucks.
Yes. You got to pack up your stuff. You got to transfer your credit hours. It's just so much easier to stay where you are. And in this scenario, when you go in for your – people asked about your meeting with Matt Luke. Let's keep this part real. Matt's not coming from a position of, hey, let's kick ass and take names and throw kids out of the building. You need numbers. So for the most part, kids are going to hear what they need to hear, want to hear. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not going to say, hey, we got to work, all those things, but – you're not saying, hey, listen, I don't think you can get on the field here.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably telling guys, I think if we work a little bit, we can get on the field here.
Yeah, there's opportunity.
There's opportunity. That's not a lie. So, you know, I mean, it's just the whole, it's going to be a mass exodus. No, it's going to be 5-6 guys. And there's always going to be. I'm not knocking these guys either. There are guys that go to big SEC Power 5 schools and realize in the first year or so, I'm not good enough. But I want to play somewhere. And if I'm willing to go down a level, I can have a college experience and play. That happens everywhere. And those kids shouldn't be made fun of. That's accepting your limitations. I think you might disagree.
Are we talking to Ryan tomorrow? What are we doing?
Yeah, we'll talk to Ryan tomorrow, I guess.
Okay.
We'll have a quick podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, got a few things going on tomorrow. We'll talk to Ryan, see what's going on in the state of Alabama, see if they've moved back moved past their week at the head of the political spectrum, and what else?
Oh, we might actually talk a little bit about that.
So that and more coming up. Check the site again, Russell, with all sorts of recruiting. It is his time of year, and we'll fill in where we can. So check it out. Cheap and great information there at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you tomorrow.